Jesus, glory, Brother Jimmy. Thank you. Brother Gene is on vacation, I believe, what he told me. And so let's just keep him in prayer. The Lord's hand be upon him. And I guess he went down to the Keys. And so just pray that God's hand be with him on the roads traveling, bring him back safely. And then you may be seated just for a few minutes. I wanted to say a few things concerning these vaccinations. I'm not mandating everybody get the vaccination, but it will help create an immune response within your body if you get them. And the thing I want to point out is we want to return to normal. We want things to return to normal. And we want to be able to come in here and quit having to social distance, quit having to wear a mask and all these things. And what they have put out is how do you return to normal? And that is if everybody's fully vaccinated. If everybody's fully vaccinated, you can visit with fully vaccinated people indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing. You can visit with unvaccinated people in a single household who are low risk, that is, you know, but you you know, you got to be careful. You have to get vaccinated when you're going out and place in public and things like that. Not everybody else is vaccinated. And that means they can carry this thing. And the getting vaccinated doesn't mean that you won't get COVID-19. What it does mean is you won't die from it. That's a pretty good benefit there. So I'd like to, my desire is to return to normal here in the church. And I thought I would just give out a little information today. You know, they got three different vaccines out there. Of course, if you've been keeping up in the news, there's one of them that they've been having a little trouble with. They've been having to stop giving the vaccinations in certain places, and that was with the Johnson & Johnson. That's the one where you just take one shot. And here, within this week, they've had two places where they were getting out the vaccines and people were having adverse reactions to it while waiting their 15 minutes after getting the shot, and so they had to shut it down. And I don't know if it was about a month ago or whatever, that the factory where they're producing this Johnson & Johnson's, they had a mix-up and I don't know how many batches of that stuff. And so I'm not really trying to say don't get the Johnson & Johnson, but I'm trying to say if it was me, I would prefer not to. They're also, in the Johnson & Johnson, they're using some kind of fetal stem cells to create this thing. And it's from some fetus from back in the 1970s, and they've been able to reproduce cells off of this unborn fetus, and they're putting these cells or something of them in this vaccine. So I'm just trying to get out information. You can do what you want. The other two vaccines is the Pfizer and the Moderna, and those you have to get two vaccinations of those to become 100% become 100% effective at preventing the severe symptoms of the disease. So if you get the Pfizer, there's a I think it's a 3-week wait between the vaccinations, and if you get the Moderna, there's 28 days wait between the two vaccinations. I got my second vaccination yesterday of Moderna, and as you can see, I'm fine. I never had any reactions to the first vaccine, and I haven't so far had any reactions to the second one. But I'll be honest with you. When they first started talking about these vaccines, I was kind of leery. And then I got kind of on the fence. And then I was talking with my son, John, who's a nurse out in Utah. And he was telling me that they're not injecting you with the virus. They're injecting you with, what is it called? Some type of mRNA that's to teach your immune system to target the COVID-19 virus. It builds up this protein to prevent the infection. So they're not injecting you with the virus. They're injecting you with something that will help you build up protein to fight off the virus if you come in contact with it. That your symptoms won't be as severe, you won't end up hospitalized, and you won't end up dead. Now, I know there's people say, well, I never get the flu shot. I'm one of them. I never get the flu shot. I got the flu shot one time in my life, and I got the flu. And so, you know, maybe it's my ignorance of the thing why I decided never to get it again. I've got the flu since then. I got the flu right after I came here, and I preached a funeral over here at Taylor's, and somehow I come in contact with the flu virus, and right after that funeral, I had the flu real bad. But I didn't die, and there's not a lot of people dying from the flu, but there's people dying from COVID. Now, I just heard that a friend of our family, her mother-in-law, believed it was not real. She believed it was a conspiracy of the government, and it wasn't real, and so she didn't take any precautions. And I just found out this morning she died of COVID. So you can die of things you don't believe in. There's a lot of people don't believe in God or the devil, but they're going to find out they're wrong. So, you know, I can't mandate that you get it, but for your own health, you know, I would say I would recommend it. And if we all get it, then we can return to normalcy, some form of normal here in the church. If we don't all get it, then the tape stays up and the masks stay on. Because I've got to make sure I'm keeping everybody safe and protected. And I am not an expert on these things, so I rely on experts. And I rely on the things that the CDC comes up with. I'm not saying that they're free of human error, but they know a whole lot more about it than I do. So I got to depend on somebody that knows more about it than I do. So anyway, if you're looking for how do you get it, you can go to online. You can sign up for it online. You just go to covid19.tn.gov, and it'll bring you right up to a page that say set appointment, and you just keep following through the pages, and you know, it'll ask you for your zip code and how many miles away you want to travel, and you don't have to travel far. We've got here in Dixon, we've got about 3 or 4 places that you can get it and set up an appointment with them. I guess Kroger Pharmacy has it now, and the Walmart has it now. I got mine through the health department. And the health department is giving them out by the fairgrounds. And it's just past the fairground. There's a little road. I did know the name of it, and I forgot the name of it now. A little road that comes up there right across from where you go in. Just past the fairgrounds fence, there's a way to go in. You see a big white tent back there. And it's drive-through. You don't even got to get out of your car. You just drive up there and show, they have some National Guard out there helping. You just show them your appointment thing, you know, that they'll email you. Once you sign up for an appointment, they'll email you something that's got a little code on it, and you print that out if you can, or have it on your phone or whatever, and show it to them, and then they'll send you up there through the line. You drive into that white tent. They got two lines going into it, and you know, you don't have to stand out amongst a bunch of people or whatever. My mom waited 2 hours in a line at the one of the universities up there in Ohio to get the vaccine. I didn't have to do that. And I like the fact of what way that the health department's doing it here. And it's not a hassle. It's something that, I mean, it'd be like saying, well, I'm not going to get the smallpox vaccine when I'm a kid. Okay. It's something that's going to help you. And but it's up to you what you do. I just wanted to give out the information because where there's lack of information, there's fear. And I just want to tell you, there's nothing to be afraid of, you know. I know people are telling me they wasn't afraid of COVID-19. COVID-19 don't care whether you're afraid or not. I'm not afraid of it either. But, you know, I'm not going to do something foolish, you know, either, you know. And I'm going to do what I can to try to protect myself, my family, and try to protect the church. And so let's stand. We'll read from the scripture this morning. Let's just go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here this morning, dear God. We're thankful for your grace. We ask, God, that you would be with us in this service. God, lead us and guide us through your word now to be able to be a help to the people, we pray. We ask these things, giving you glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and begin at verse 7. And Paul writes here, it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure, that means do willingly, in infirmities, and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. That's an important part, doing it for Christ's sake. If you're bringing stuff on yourself because of your misconduct, and that ain't for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. You may be seated. What I'd like to title this morning is, When I Am Weak. When I am weak. Now, God knows that as humans, we're feeble. God knows that we're, as humans, we're weak. But we know that God is strong. There is no weakness in God. And with God being strong, then there's nothing can stand before him. No disease, no heart trouble, no nothing we ever face, whether it be physical, whether it be mental, whether it be something that a test or a trial you're going through, there's nothing that God can't help you through. But we've all been through tests and trials to where during the trial, sometimes the trial continues on. And who's ever had one like that? A trial that just seems like it just keeps going. And after a while you're thinking, when is this ever going to end? And the more and longer it goes on, the weaker you seem to get. And it begins to break you down. And then Satan's always there to tell you, well, look what God thinks about you. You know, that's what Satan did with Job. God allowed Job to go through a great trial, allowed great things to happen to Job. Job lost his kids to death. Job was losing everything he had, his cattle, his sheep, everything. Job got down real weak. And Satan was standing right there to kick him, and that's what he does. Satan likes to kick you when you're down. And you know, you get to feeling weak. Elijah lost his church. Elijah lost everything he had. He ended up out there under a juniper tree, God having to send angels down and send ravens down to take care of him. But when he got weak, that's when he got strong. That's when he shook the heavens and said, it'll not rain. Jacob got weak. Jacob got desperate. Jacob got in a place where he was up against a wall. He didn't know what to do. He was between a rock and a hard place. And Jacob, when he got weak, then's when the angel come down, and Jacob in his weakness grabbed a hold of the angel and wrestled him for all he could. No matter how, the angel even touched him and caused a weakness to come in his the hollow of his thigh. But Jacob still wouldn't let go. He was weak. But there was something that God was getting ready to do. God was going to make him strong enough to become a prince of nations. Moses lost everything. He lost his position in the kingdom of Egypt. He lost his power. He lost his abilities. He lost his youth. But when Moses got weak is when he come in contact with the burning bush. And then God gave him power to go down and set Israel free from the hands of Pharaoh. But it wasn't Moses' power, it was God's power. It wasn't Moses that brought on the plagues, that was God. That was Moses just speaking the words that God told him to say, and it brought on the plagues that brought Egypt to its knees. God said, I will deliver them with a mighty hand. And he did. It wasn't Moses' hand, but God did use Moses. And Moses became strong because he had God in him. Paul had to lose all of his education. He said that unless I get exalted through the abundance of the revelations that God has given me. See, Paul Paul wasn't there when Jesus walked on the earth, but Jesus came down in a pillar of fire and met Paul on the road and commissioned him. But that made Paul weak. The light was blinding, caused his eyes to go blind, scales to go over his eyes. Paul became weak. How was he going to do what God wanted him to do and he couldn't even see? But God sent a man down there, Ananias, I believe, and said, lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. And Paul says he was bothered with this the rest of his life, this infirmity that he had. He had trouble seeing. Sometimes his vision would be okay, and other times it would get kind of bad. And he asked God, God, take this from me. But then God said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. God told Paul, my strength becomes more perfect as you become more weaker. More that you can yield to me, the better I can use you. The weaker you get in yourself, of yourself, the more that God can use you. The more you forget about your stuff and yield yourself to God, the more he can use you. Because you become weak and God makes his own purpose strong. Brother Branham was in the prayer line one time and he had been praying for people. And Brother Branham talked about how those visions that he would get, how they would make him weak. And he was standing there and another woman came up and he had been praying for several people already. And she came up and he said, I'm tired. And I'm weak. But he said, but when I'm weak, then God is strong. And he went on and prayed for the lady. God's not dependent on our strength. God's the one that's strong. You remember the woman in the Bible? When the prophet came to visit her, and she had come to the end of her road. She told him that it was during a famine. She said, I got enough meal and enough oil left to make one cake. Me and my son are going to eat that. And then we're going to die. She was at the end of her road. There was nowhere else to go. She was weak. She was at a point of just giving up. We're going to die after we eat this last cake. There in the moment of her weakness, the prophet said, make me a cake first. You know what she did? She took what little she had and yielded it to God. And by yielding it to God, God made her strong. He said, the meal barrel will never be empty and the cruse of oil will never run dry. And she was sustained through that famine. There was people dying all around her. There was nowhere for her to go borrow off the neighbor. They didn't have it either. There was nothing left for her to do. She was at the end. But God came on the scene. And when he came on the scene, it seemed like he asked the impossible of her. But she yielded to God, and look what came out of it. Last Sunday we were preaching on the resurrection. We talked about Mary. When Mary went down there to the tomb, she was crying. Mary Magdalene had went down there and she was crying. And she couldn't find the Lord. Where they had laid his body, it was gone. And she was weeping. She had been up 3 days under the immense pressure of losing Jesus. She had saw what they did to Jesus. She saw them strip him down shamefully and nail him to a cross. Saw him crucified. She saw him die. 3 days had passed. She didn't know what to think. She didn't know what the answer was. And in her distress, someone, a voice spoke to her. She didn't even turn to see who it was. She just supposed that it was the gardener. And she said, "Sir, if you could just please tell me where you've taken his body. We want to give him a right burial. We brought spices and things here. And if you could just please tell me where you put the body." Oh, she was so weak. She couldn't sleep. Weakness was upon her. Then he spoke and he said, "Mary." Oh, when he said her name, her strength began to flow in her. He said, "Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee." Whew. You imagine. Bible says he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And she went to tell the others. We said last Sunday, they didn't believe her. You imagine when she realized he had rose from the dead, what strength went through her? It was God's strength. It didn't matter who believed her. She had saw him. Hallelujah. I tell you, once you meet Jesus, it don't matter who believes you or who doubts you or what they say. You know you've met Jesus and you know he's alive and real. When you get God in your life, it don't matter how many doubters there are around you. You know that God's real in your life. Imagine Abraham. Waited 25 years for the promise to come to pass. You realize God waited till Abraham's weakness in his body got down so weak and so weak and so weak physically. To where when he come and met him, and talked to him in front of the tent door. Sarah, even in her heart, said she was barren and Abraham's seed was dried up. Physically, they were both incapable of this promise coming to pass.
According to dictionary.com.
Sorry, I brought my phone up here with me because I got a song on there that I got the words to. And Abraham, the weaker he grew, the more of a miracle it was going to be. The longer it took, the greater the miracle was going to be. The weaker he got and the longer it took, the more that he was going to realize that it was God that was going to bring this to pass, not Abraham and Sarah. They couldn't bring it to pass in their strength, but it was God going to bring this to pass. It was God's strength. And God's strength began to flow through those bodies till those bodies began to change and go back to being young again. We said that old king wanted an old grandma to be his wife. Well, she went back to being beautiful again. It's nothing you can do, Brother Branham says. God has made that plain. Not by anything you can do, but only what God has did for you in Christ. Pardon me. Brother Branham says here, he says, a lot of times people say, oh, I'm so tempted. Blessed be the name of the Lord for the temptations. For when I am weak, then I'm strong, said Paul. Every son that cometh to God must first be tried and tested. And these testings are more sweeter to you and dearer to you than precious gold. It's testing time. We go through tests and trials. Sometimes you wonder why sometimes the testing involves you and somebody else in the church. I'll tell you why. Because death ain't going to change you. If you can't get along now, you're not going to get along then. So you better start getting along now. How do I do it? God help me. Get God to help you. Tell you what, it might have been hard and long for y'all while we weren't having church, but I was getting better and better and better. I feel real good right now. I feel like since we've come back, I'm preaching back the way I used to preach. I needed some time to sit under ministries and hear good preaching and be tested. That was a testing time we were going through, friends. You know, and the thing is, did you pass the test? I hope y'all did, because I really don't want to go through it again. But if you was belly aching and complaining, then you weren't passing the test. I'm sorry. So how was we going to pass that test? You had to trust in God. How are you going to trust in God? Trust in the leadership of God. Where's the leadership of God? God placed a shepherd there to guide us, didn't he? Friends, I've got to look to God, because there's a lot I don't know. So I got to look to a higher power that knows more than I do. Brother Bram said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, see? Because I know there's a blessing laying ahead that Satan's trying to get away from me. And I just keep going on anyhow, even though I'm weak, just keep moving on. God don't have no weak parts and strong parts. God is all strong. So if you just got a shadow, a speck of God in you, you've got enough power to create a world and go live on it. You got enough power to overcome all sickness. You got enough power to raise the dead. Because even if it's a little speck, everything in God is powerful. God, there ain't no weakness in God. You know, a lot of times you think that when you went through something, you did real good. You know, boy, get proud of yourself. Kind of puff your chest out there a little bit. Boy, I did that. See that? You think that's when your testimony really counts. Brother Bram said, that's not when your testimony counts. He said, your testimony really counts when you're weak. When you're in the valley. It's like that song that says God on the mountain is still God in the valley. And it says, up on the mountain, it's easy. When faith comes easy. And it's easy to believe when you're up on the mountain. But it's down in the valley where the real test is. When you're down and low and weak. I tell you, friends, I have been through trials that dragged on and on and on. And me, I struggled in myself. I tried to make a way out. I tried to take care of it myself. I put all the thinking I could into it. Tried to come up with a way to make it end. But nothing I did worked. Seemed like an awesome plan. But it didn't work. But when I got down and said, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I don't know what to do. And something's got to give. Something's got to happen. And there was a lot of people involved. There was lawyers involved and prosecutor involved and all these different people all involved. How in the world? I didn't know how in the world this thing was going to come out. But God stepped in. When we didn't know what to do, God stepped in and said, do this right here. And we done what God told us, and God just wrapped that whole thing up. It was a miracle in the making. Set us free. Brother Bradham says, in perfect strength and perfect weakness, he said, the case with us is not that we're too weak. The case with us is we're too strong. We're just too strong. The thing is, we're too strong-headed. Woo! We're too strong-headed. We're too strong in our head. We know too much. God wants to get that out of us. We're too strong to yield to Him. We yield to ourselves. We got to think, well, I got enough sense enough to know what to do. Oh, man, we got to get that out of us. Hey, man, we got to get that out of us, that knowing what to do thing, knowing too much. We don't know what to do. And I'll tell you what, the more you try to do, sometimes the worse you make it. You need to turn this stuff over to God. He said, Paul sought God and said, God, I'm weak. I don't know what to do. I just pray you, God, to strengthen me. Take my infirmities away from me and these things so I can be stronger. God spoke back to Paul and said, Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Then Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. I will glory in my infirmities of my weaknesses and so forth. I'm thanking God I got all of me out of me. When I get everything out of me, then God can come in. But as long as I got some of myself in there, then God can't get in. You got to get yourself out of there. Get your own thing. We try to pull ourselves up out of the mud by our own bootstraps, and you know that's impossible. We smother him. We drive him away from the poorest to the richest of us, from the least to the greatest. We keep God out of our lives because of our own selves. Who is strong enough to overcome the devil? Who is strong enough to tame the devil? What denomination is strong enough to tame the devil? What church is strong enough to tame the devil? What person has the strength to tame the devil? There's only one that overcome, and that was Jesus Christ. You know what? It said he was tempted in every manner such as known to man. But yet without sin. There ain't a one of us can say that about ourselves. So we got to lean on the one that overcame him. It's by his strength. You'll do it when you empty up and become weak. Pour out all yourself and let the Holy Ghost come in and flood every part of you. Saturate every lid of your body. When you become saturated with the Spirit of God, let God take care of you. So I don't see nothing happening. That's your problem. The reason you don't see nothing happening because it ain't happening according to what you think it should happen. But if you'd step back and look at the bigger picture and just watch God move, I'll tell you something, friends. I don't know how many of y'all ever been to court on a serious situation or not, but you go in there and then they set up a date for another court date. And you've spent your whole day for them to set up another date for you to come back. And you come back, and they talk a little bit and set up another date. And you think, my goodness, when are we ever going to get to this? But when you quit trying to do the things yourself, quit trying to figure them out. You know, look, I know there's some people that's just their makeup. It's how they're made up. That they're made up, and you would meet them maybe even before they come to God, and they would have maybe you would look at them and say, my, they're just full of confidence. And look like they just could do anything. That's how I was. But I can tell you something, friends. When I went through this mental thing, God made me so weak, there was times I didn't even know what I was doing. I don't know how many of y'all have ever had a blackout. But when you have a blackout, you don't know what in the world happened. People think you look normal, but you ain't. Brain shut down. Can't go on like that. God's got to do something. And God lets you become, you know what? Sometimes we get something on us, a disease or a mental illness or anxiety or depression or something, and we want to get over it right away. We think, well, go have prayer. Prayer solves everything. I'll be done with this. But maybe that ain't God's plan. Maybe God's plan is to let you get weaker. Because you're still trying to take care of it yourself. Friends, look, when my daddy was alive, there wasn't one, no matter how much I loved him, when he was dying, there wasn't one thing I could do to stop it. We prayed, but you realize you got to pray according to God's will. If you don't pray according to his will, then the answer ain't going to come out to what you're thinking you want. We had to come down to realize God has a time. Every man, there's a lot of the time. And there's a lot of time when it's God's will to take them on home. Say, when is that? When God's finished with them here, when they've done what God has had them to do while they were here, when they have accomplished that, then God takes them on home. And it don't matter what the age is. You don't have to be 90 years old to accomplish all God sent you here for. And of course we know there's also God takes children when he sees it's for their best. If something worse would happen to them, they wouldn't get raised right, then God will take them. And then there's sometimes God takes the children and we don't know why, we don't have an answer. But for some reason, God does it. The thing about it is, friends, when God takes a child, it's not the child that suffers. It's you. You're the one that suffers. The child didn't suffer. The child suffered while I was here. Maybe. But once God takes it, it's about 20, 21 years old in a perfect body. Hallelujah. Where sickness can't touch it. Where the devil can't touch it. Where nothing can get to it. It's in the arms of God. It's hard on us. I know people say, you ever lost one? Then you don't know what it is. Yeah, I've never lost one that was mine. But I'm still preaching to you. Paul never was married, yet he's the one who told us how we should live with our wives. Well, it wasn't Paul, it was God. It ain't me, it's God. Take this from God, not from Jerry. Brother Bram says, you got to empty up, friends. Get weak. Deny your own abilities. You know, there are people who can go take a test. I'm talking about a test here in this world, especially if it's multiple choice. And they can take a test about things that they don't know nothing about and come out of there looking pretty good. They just got good reasoning power. Where they can see this don't make sense and this does make sense. They're just good test takers. They have that ability. That ability won't do you one bit of good when it comes to taking one of the tests that God will let you go through. Hallelujah. Amen. My point is sometimes we rely on what we know we're capable of doing. Well, I tell you what, I'll sure tell them a thing or two. No, you need to not tell anybody nothing except for get down on your knees and talk to God about it. our problem, the reason we have a lot of problems is because we don't rely on God enough. Brother Branham said in the message, when you say, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you say this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. He said, it might only move one spoonful at a time, but it's moving. See, what we want is, we want the mountain to pick up and all at once just be gone. But that's not what builds character. God's molding character in us, friends. The time of the millennium is not a time to be molding your character. You've already got to have the right character when we get there. You know, there's been a lot of things in the news here recently about the monarchy in England. And I've thought on it. And I thought about, you know, William is second in line for the throne. That's Charles's son. Now, if the day would go on to where someday William would become king, that ain't the time when they prepare him to be king. You see, from the time William was young, he was being prepared to become king one day. He was being prepared to take on the royal duties and the things that's required of the royalty. He was being taught the right attitude and molding the right character in it. And he did not rebel against it. Now, there's another one in the news that rebelled against it, but I'm not going to get into him. But that's the way God does us. If we're going to rule and reign in the millennium, God's preparing us now to be able to rule and reign in the millennium. Amen? He's putting us through it now. The training, it's what it is. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Training isn't easy. I can look back on when I went into basic training in the Army. I'm going to tell you something. It was not easy. And you couldn't cry about it either. You couldn't complain about it either. You had to just do it. Oh, man, it hurt. It hurt physically. Oh, man. Getting woke up abruptly early in the morning, not going to bed till later on at night. You was up at night trying to get ready for the next morning, you know, getting your boots ready and all that kind of stuff. And then a long day. I tell you what, when it goes like that, you learn to sleep anywhere you can. They put you in what we call a cattle car or a troop carrier. They put you in there, you learn to sleep. For that little bit of time, if they're going to, of course, we hardly ever got in one of them. We had to march everywhere we was going. It was very seldom we ever got carried around. And I went through training in Fort Dix, New Jersey. And Fort Dix is out there on the coast. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Marching in sand is hard. Going on a road march in sand with a full rucksack on your back and your weapon in your hand and a canteen full of water on your side and all this stuff, you know, and you're marching in sand that's like this. Man, I'm telling you what, that you talking about killing your legs. I seen young boys fall flat on their face trying to do it. And you know what the drill sergeant would do? Just go over there and pick them up and put them back in there. Get back in there. God's training's not easy either. If you want to know about it, look at Job's life. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Job to come to the revelation that though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And not from another, but from my own eyes. It wasn't easy for Job to get there. Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. Look at this. He said, I'll take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. Boy, we hate persecutions. I'm not sure exactly what necessities is, but I know what necessity means. It means you have to. Persecution distresses. How many's ever been in distress? Paul said, I'll take glory in it. Except I get exalted and want to above the abundance of this with this revelation, God let a messenger of the devil beat me down, Paul said. Then when I'm weak, I'm strong. Brother Branham said it was growing. Remember, look, God said to Paul, said, my grace is sufficient. Brother Branham said what Paul went through was growing pains of grace. Growing pains of grace. We're suffering his grace pains. Read with me in Hebrews 11. We all know that Hebrews 11 is God's hall of fame, where it talks about all the heroes of faith. I want to read something here. Begin at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed valiant in fight. They waxed valiant. When they were bringing them out there to bring them to their death, when they faced death, they waxed valiant. Friends, when you know you're ready to go, you don't fear death. Because you know death's just going to take you into the presence of God. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Let's read in Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 and 3. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, because your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Hallelujah. No matter how weak we get, no matter what we're going through, he's going to show up. I think about them Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here they were faced with, you bow to this image, and it was the image of the brother. It was the image of Daniel. that you bow to this image and we're going to throw you in the fire. They had nowhere else to go. They didn't have another option. It was bow or go in the fire furnace. But now I want you to look at it for what it really was. It was bow and die and be lost. Or go in the fire furnace and die and be saved. So they was faced with death really on either side. There was no, they didn't have an option C. They said, "O King, we don't have to take counsel. We don't got to talk amongst ourselves to figure this thing out. We ain't going to bow." He commanded to be thrown in the fire furnace. And you know, we all know this, but I'm going to tell you anyhow, because I like talking about it. The heat of that furnace was so hot, it killed the ones that was throwing them in. And they throwed them down in that fire furnace, closed the thing up, and then the king said, "Look and see how they're faring down in there." And they expected to see them corpses consumed, cremated. He said, "Did not we throw just three men down there in the fire? Because there's a fourth man down there, and he looks like the Son of God." You know what the fire did? It loosed their bonds. The ropes burned off of them. Fire was so hot it melted chains. But it didn't singe a hair on them. Now friends, look. Y'all, any of y'all know when you cook out, especially if you're cooking over charcoal grill, you know, where you got some flames. Any of y'all know when you out there turning them burgers and everything, it singes the hair right off your hands. They had no singe marks on them. Boy, they got strong when he got in there. He took them through the fire and brought them out. Hallelujah. Abraham, when he was growing weak, God came down and talked with Abraham and told him, "I'm El Shaddai. I am the breasted God. Nurse from me and make your weak body strong." Brother Branham said he's El Shaddai still today. That we can nurse from his own strength, his own Holy Spirit, as a baptism to come back into our weak bodies and give us faith for the rapture. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nurse to give faith for the rapture. Nurse to give faith for body change. Hallelujah. I know it seems like not a service goes by that I don't somehow or other work in there and mention about the body change, but I'm sure looking forward to it. Amen. Amen. No more back problems. No more arthritis. Oh, Arthur, I'm going to tell you what, buddy. He's a hard one. There ain't a whole lot they can do about it. And there ain't no cure. It gets hard dealing with that day in and day out. But there's coming a time when old Arthur is going to be dead here on the earth. I ain't going to have no more of that arthritis. Hallelujah. No more pain, no more sickness, no more diabetes. No more high blood pressure. Never need a heart bypass. You won't need your pacemakers no more. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I'm looking forward to for the those that are asleep in Christ to rise from the grave. Amen. I'm looking forward to a meeting in the air. Amen. They come to the instruments. I got a little song I want to try to sing. I don't know it real, real good, but I do know it somewhat. I don't know how good I'd do on the verse, but I can sing the chorus. Go ahead and get the keys while I wet my throat. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. I'm going to read this verse to you because I got to learn this song better. But it just, I was sitting on the porch yesterday and this song was going through my mind. And it says, many times I've questioned certain circumstances, things I could not understand. Many times trials and weaknesses blurred my vision. Then my frustration gets so out of hand. It's then that I'm reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand the test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weaknesses is made strong. Hallelujah. 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 God makes us strong through weakness. Through the fire, it said, our weakness is made strong. That's what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Through the fire, their weakness was made strong. Amen. I'm going to take a little trip, and I'll be gone for a couple weeks. Brother Phil will be here with you, and I know he's been out, but he can shake the dust off here at home, and I know you'll be in good hands, and just be hearing from the Word of God, and I'm gonna take a couple weeks. I'll be back on the 26th. I think that's a Monday. And I'll be back, and then I'll be back with you services after that. On May 11th, my mom's coming in to visit. She's going to stay with me about 3 weeks. So I'm looking forward to her visit in May. And I know she's just her presence seems like sometimes here's a blessing to the church. And so just looking forward to that too. And So just keep me in your prayers. And like I said, I'll be back on the 26th. And if you need anything while I'm gone, y'all got my phone number. If sometimes I don't get a good signal where I'm going, but if you can just leave me a message, if it don't go through to me, just leave a message. And then when I go over into town where I can get a better signal, I'll call you. And so if you need anything. And I haven't been getting any calls, even though I said months back, you know, if you need something or you need to talk about something, you call me. But I hadn't been. Brother Gene's the one that calls me. He calls me regular, but Brother Gene don't call me to really ask me anything other than how I'm doing. And Brother Gene calls me all the time to check on me. And I call him. But anyway, God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful day.